Hello again. Well, newly arrived asylum seekers have told RTE News they have nowhere to stay tonight and are preparing to sleep rough on the streets of Dublin. It's a situation that homeless charities have expressed serious concern about throughout the day, and it follows a decision to pause offers of accommodation to all adult asylum seekers who seek protection here who are arriving without children. Grainne Nia, what's the state of play on this? Why has this happened?
I suppose feels like every couple of months we get to a crunch point with where we are going to house people who need help, whether that is people who are coming from Ukraine or people seeking international protection. The department has said, once again, we are in a very challenging situation. The winter period was going to be seen as the worst because the winter in Ukraine was going to be quite bad, and we were expecting a surge in applications. But the situation is going to continue because there are hotels who have been housing international protection applicants, such as asylum seekers and Ukrainian nationals, that are just going to end contracts in March for the tourist season. I think the government's strategy is going to focus on modular units. We were told, you know, before Christmas that these are going to come on stream. You can bring them into play very fast. They are energy efficient. They are quite clean and modern, and you can create little communities on tiny strips of land very, very quickly with good waste systems and water management. But I think even they are a little bit delayed, such as the scale of the unpredictability of the situation. And it's not the first time in the past 6 months that we're telling asylum seekers they might sleep in the streets because we've nowhere to put them. It's a challenging situation. Everybody would be sympathetic to how it's an emergency situation. It's difficult to house people in fleeing a war in a time where the country is already grappling with the housing crisis. But there has to be a better system for how we are doing this, because at the moment, almost a year on from the crisis, there doesn't seem to be any kind of joined up thinking or other than to send people to City West in the first instance and house them from there. There doesn't seem to be any kind of system for how we are dealing with what is now going to be a medium term issue of Ukrainians living in Ireland. That means, you know, language services, schools, GP services, resources for communities to be able to take them in properly, and information to the local communities about what exactly is going on.
Tim Lombard, Roderick O'Gorman, the minister over there, said the last month that tents wouldn't be used in Knocklisheen because tents weren't of a standard. But whatever about tents not being of a standard in this weather, no accommodation is surely unacceptable.
Yeah, look, it's been very, very challenging. I think the last 11 months, over 70,000 people have come to Ireland, the size of Galway. And I think the real challenge is in particular for single males coming through the system at the moment. And it is, you know, the war effort, and I think it should be acknowledged as a war effort, has been really, really competent. We've brought the local authorities on board. I think the local communities, I think, really need to be acknowledged. A place like Bandon, where there's 400 refugees today, is a really significant thing, that you've 400 Ukrainians in a small little town like Bandon. Like, that would show you the actual community effort that's been made around this. And look, there are challenges, and there's going to be significant challenges going forward, because there will be more refugees coming, and where we have, in particular down my part of the world, where you would have hotels that would have taken refugees for the winter period, would be moving back into their traditional tourism outlets in the next few months, which is going to compound
issue. So what's
issue.
The plan?
The plan is basically that we're going to make sure that the modular system of houses are going to come online. They are coming slowly but surely, and we're going to build on that going forward. There's also going to be, I think, another renewed call for communities to get involved. And I think, you know, Heather Humphrey's funding today alone would give you that incentive for more work from the communities to actually get involved as well. But this is a really significant challenge. Ramit, figures that we'd never thought we'd see before, like over 70 to 80,000 people coming on board in a very, very short space of time. We've managed to house the majority of them in a very safe, clean environment. Unfortunately, and I mean that, we have a situation today, I mean a situation before Christmas, that, you know, we didn't have enough space, but hopefully we'll build on that and we'll get around it. But I think the challenge is really significant, but what we've done has been really, really credible.
All right, Mark Ward.
Nobody here is downplaying the enormity of the challenge that's going on at the moment. But we have it's almost a year since the invasion of Ukraine, and the government had plenty of time. We're still talking about the slow coming of modular homes. These should have been coming in place at the very, very start. We also had the failure to take up the Irish Refugee Council's proposal in relation to holiday homes. The government didn't take that up either. So there's things that could have been done that weren't done. It's absolutely embarrassing now at this stage when people are coming in this country, whether they're fleeing war, whether they're fleeing persecution, or they're coming from trauma, and there's nowhere for them to go.
Like, we have 70,000 people housed. That's a really significant figure in the bones of 11 months. When you take into consideration
In February 2020, the government forecast was 200,000. So imagine if we had that 200,000, where was the plan for that?
Think of that, like the size of Galway, and we've managed that in the last 11 months. And that's with the help of the communities and the help of the local authorities and the like of everyone pulling their weight. And I think, you know, the nation should be very proud of what they've achieved.
All right, Annie Howie.
I think just first of all to say we have a housing crisis, and that housing crisis was never caused by refugees and asylum seekers coming here. I think that's just, you know, it's something that just has been getting bandied around over the last couple of weeks, and it's important just to consistently correct the record on that. We had a housing crisis before this, and it was not caused by migrants or refugees or asylum seekers coming here fleeing war, persecution and all sorts of things we couldn't even imagine. And I think, you know, and it's all been said before, like it's been nearly a year. You know, and there's no question that the government, that there has been a huge amount of work done. But we cannot turn around to people who are coming here and say, we're not going to help you. You
know, Where do you put them then?
There's 160 something odd, and I don't want to throw, you know, I don't want to be facetious about it. There's literally over 160,000 empty houses floating around the country. And I'm not saying we siphon people off into anywhere, but if we look at the facts and figures of the space that we have, the resources that we have, like I remember when this first happened, there was calls put out to, you know, TDs, senators and councillors to identify areas that you could put up modular homes. And we were all traipsing around our local communities looking at spaces that people could go into. And I'm not entirely sure what became of that project. And I think I've been on this show before.
That project has been run by the OPW.
Actually, you know, we never heard back, for example, from the Minister for Housing on this. And I also just feel like a lot of this has been left to one particular department and one particular minister. And that is an enormous amount of pressure. And I think this should be something that should be centralised in government. The Taoiseach's office should be leading on this. There should be a centralised, committed group that's focused on this, and not just one department that's also dealing with a bazillion other things.
We have local government involved, we have OPW involved, we have obviously the Department of Children involved, who are putting the entire thing together. It's a whole of government approach to try and deal with this issue.
But a whole of government approach since February 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine, I mean, the predictions were of at least 100,000 people arriving, if not more. If this is what the result of a whole of government approach is over the course of nearly a year, should people be worried?
I don't think so. I think we've managed to step over all the issues so far. Like there has been, you know, unfortunate issues before Christmas and now again. But on average in that 11-month period, there's been very, very few situations where we've had been caught that we hadn't the actual housing. But I would be fearful, and I've made this point clear, that where we'll be next March and April is a different story. Because I would be fearful that you'll have a certain tourism trade that'll be rebooting itself and will be stepping out of the market, which will put extra pressure on the system. Right. So I just think we need to be honest with the entire debate as well.
All right, Grainne, Nia, what this community fund that is going to be put in place, what can people expect? To what tune could people expect to benefit from that? And what's it there to provide?
Well, it's a 50 million fund in total. And it says among the projects that could be supported are refurbishment of local sports clubs and facilities, upgrading of community facilities such as playground areas, purchasing equipment for those facilities, you know, for festivals and other kind of, you know, music events. And transport infrastructure such as community vehicles and bus shelters. So I suppose it's acknowledging that there are additional strains on resources when you put dozens of new people into an area, and I think that is good. It's a good idea, but and it also promotes integration as well if you're investing in playgrounds, if you're investing in community sports halls and things like that. But I think there has to be a better emphasis on the kind of acknowledgement that these are refugees coming into a new country, that there are language barriers. I know we spoke to, before Christmas, a Ukrainian GP who didn't have fluent English and so couldn't practice here. Those kind of things are still barriers. But I think the important thing is that it does acknowledge that there are more supports needed for communities and funding there. Whether the 50 million is going to be enough, I'm not too sure, though.
Right. Tim Lumber, there's a basic minimum standard under an EU directive from 2013 calling for access to food, housing, healthcare, employment, medical and psychological care. I mean, GPs, teachers, accommodation facilities, translators, psychological care for people fleeing war zones. Would that be maybe a better use of funds than promising communities that, you know, there's a dividend for the sports club and the playground if people are coming into their community?
Well, I think this is a whole government approach, and this is Minister Heather Humphrey's department is bringing 50 million euros to help build that social infrastructure that's required. And I think, as rightly said, we have strains on our community regarding more people coming in, whether it's using playgrounds, whether it's using community halls. And look, this is money that's given to local authorities to help these communities put something else together. And, you know, I think it'll be taken very well by communities. I think communities will embrace this fund. And what you're going to see here now is a great interaction between the communities, the refugees that are there, and the local authorities to do something special.
Do you see the merit in this idea, Mark?
Well, any additional funding for our communities is always something that's welcome. But I would much rather see the resources being put into facilities in our areas that are already behind. So, for example, more GPs in the area, so for everybody to access, more school places in the area for everybody to access. They're the things that my community are crying out for. And when you have, we have a number of these facilities in my own area, and when you have an influx of people, these services that are already overstretched are going to be even more overstretched. So that's where the resources need to be put.
All right, any thoughts on this this fund and how it should be deployed and spent?
I have no objection to funds going into communities. I think any community group, we'd be hard-pressed to find a community group that wouldn't find something they could do with the resources. But what I want to see in tandem with this funding is we have the capacity and we have the resources and we have the capabilities. I believe this, and I won't accept anything else in Ireland, to provide housing and homes for both the refugees that are coming in here and our current homeless population. And I just don't accept any line from government that we don't.
Okay.